NRP Episode 4. Welcome to Cozy Corner. Hey everybody, this episode was going to be a video podcast for No Rights TV, but my studio is really tiny and the video just looked like crap, so I just cut the video out and decided to make it an audio podcast. Don't worry, I'll try and do some video podcasts down the line, but for now, enjoy Kyle and I talking about one of our favorite directors, Luigi Cozzi, and welcome to Cozy Corner. Why, Kyle?
About Luigi Cozzi.
Yes.
His epic adventurous movies that we so enjoy.
Better known as under the pen name as Lewis Coates, aka the guy who made Star Crash.
Star Crash will forever be the...
It's in our hearts.
What every one of his movies will be compared against.
Yes.
And perhaps every other movie in film history.
Although those last two movies we watched tonight, Kyle, I do believe those do compare very well to Star Crash.
They compare decently, but... I wasn't as blown away by these as Star Crash. But that could be because...
Well, you didn't know Star Crash was coming. You didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect yet either. But there's also way more eye candy in Star Crash that really held it together.
I don't know. I mean, there were more people in general in Star Crash.
Amazons.
Well, there were Amazons.
Or the eye candy in general was just hotter in general.
Ah, yes.
Hercules, they were still pretty hot. The Adventures of Hercules.
Yes, and in case you
there's still eye candy, but I don't know if there was any side boob. And that was disappointing.
Yes.
No side boob.
All right.
What's up with that?
Okay, so in case you can't tell, first we're talking about 1983's Hercules, starring Lou Ferrigno. Tell the folks what that one's about, Kyle.
It was an updated 80s version of The Adventures of Hercules, which...
You know, I don't know if you could really call it updated so much as... Yeah, I don't...
it was a retelling of The Adventures of Hercules.
Sort of.
And, in Cozy's own image. Or his own... vision of it, I suppose.
Which is basically laser eyes and pew pew.
Laser eyes. And you still had to do the same kinds of things, but there are a lot more lasers than the original story.
What I enjoyed was when they create Hercules, and it's like he's the Ken doll, and it's.
Yeah, he's the Ken doll, and
he's on the turntable.
That's one thing, you'll have to superimpose that image in there somehow. You're gonna have to get this so the people of the world can see this, because it's epic.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth seeing.
Yeah, the giant cat. I don't understand why it's like, right up front, it's like, hey, look at me in my non-genital region.
Yeah, he's a Ken doll. Like, very buff Ken doll. Much more buff
than
your standard Ken.
Yeah. More like G.I. Joe. More like G.I. Joe, I would say.
Yeah.
Or like Arnold G.I. Joe-ish. I mean, when you got the neck muscles, like, on the sides, it's like... Yeah, that's... It's alright. Now, the first one... What were your thoughts on the first Hercules movie, Kyle?
I enjoyed the first one, for the most part.
For the most part.
The first time I saw it, I happened to catch it on TV late at night earlier this year, and I was like, what is this awesomeness? Somehow I changed the channel here and there. I can't remember why.
Well, it kind of meanders. There's parts that are
parts
awesome.
That meander, but every time I'd go back, I would be like, this is awesome.
This is awesome. Why should I put this
I think it was just that it was late at night, and I was getting ready for bed, all that kind of jazz. But I was quite impressed with Lou Ferrigno, the amazing laser effects, amount of boobage.
And the science, Kyle. Don't forget the science.
You need to get that clip.
That was the best part, is the villain, Minos?
Yes, Minos.
Minos. Well, they call him
Minos. Minos.
Yeah, that's what
that was pronounced, like penis.
Yes.
No, it was just Minos.
He would just say, science! Even though, like, he had, like, his villainous partner who has this helmet that looks like a a fish fin thing.
Yeah, it was very much like, I can't even think of...
Like, kind of like a Flash Gordon kind of helmet, like an old aviator's helmet, but with fins on the side. Like, I don't know. And she had these little mechanical, like, a three-headed hydra, but it was really just a one-headed hydra with, like, it was a mechanical, it looked like a wrench. Like, you know, one of those old wrenches that are big and the bottom just goes back.
Well, and it had the, you know, it almost looked like a grommet, you know, with the way it had the... the edges around it.
But it was really just, it was a three-headed one, but it was really just one head, and then they split it kind of in. So, not much there. It was better, though, than that mechanical butterfly thing that he was throwing logs at in the beginning.
This is true. The mechanical butterfly, that was probably the worst effect in the movie.
Well... let's not get ahead of ourselves, guys.
Well, at least as far as the stop motion. Well, no.
The stop motion, actually,
The snakes were the worst.
The best part of the stop motion in that movie was when they had a rope tie itself around a chariot thing. And I'm sitting there going, you know, this is pretty good, solid animation. Like, the people that animated these and stuff in these movies, the effects, like, I don't know who decided what effects to use in these films, but the people that were animating them and actually doing the work, I'll give them credit. They knew what they were doing. I think my favorite thing about these movies is whenever Hercules has to show his strength or prove a point, it's, I will throw this thing into space.
And then they become a constellation.
Like when the bear killed his father, he threw it into space.
Yes, which I can't recall if that was part of the original Legend of Hercules, but...
And then he beat some people with a log, and then he threw it into space.
Yeah. The log did not become a constellation, though. That just kind of...
And then they had this nice chariot, but no horses, the winged horses to fly. So he tied a rock. Well, he had the lady magically tie a rock to a rope, and then tie that to the chariot, and then he threw it into space.
Yep. It was pretty awesome. That's how I. That's my new method of transportation now. Preferred method. It's gonna be awesome.
Yes.
But I think the worst effect were the stop motion snakes.
The stop motion snakes,
like
the
vines.
First ones that
they look
were
like the vines from Evil Dead,
with glowing eyes, and then they had a baby Hercules crushing them, which was weird because they kept intercutting it with shots of like a grown man's hand crushing things, and then they cut back to the baby. You know, it's like the baby didn't know what he was there for. I don't think, you know, And like most Luigi Cozy movies, the dialogue is a little weird at times. Like, they're going after baby Hercules, and his mother puts him on a boat and sails down the river, and the bad guy, there's a guy readying his bow and arrow, about ready to kill Hercules, and then someone goes, "Don't bother, the river will get him." Why not take the shot anyway? These movies, they don't agree with the double tap, you know?
Yep, there's no double tap, but I guess that's what makes Zombieland so amazing.
Yes.
The theory of the double tap was introduced, and now the world has been changed.
But, you know, as bad as those snakes were, the whole hand coming through
the waterfall
and picking up the baby, like, put that back on Earth. He's like, okay.
I'm not entirely sure why they had to use a stop-motion hand for that, since it was just a composited image anyway.
The composite.
Why didn't they just have, you know, footage of a hand coming out? But they wouldn't have had to have a crappy stop motion.
Well, I like how with the little boat going over the falls, they couldn't actually film that, so they had falls, and then they added boat on top of it, which was amusing in its own right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I was watching that going, I was like, is this the story of Moses? His mother putting him in a boat?
It's similar.
But then he's found by the Kents and becomes Superman. Which, the Superman's similarities can really be traced in the sequel a lot. It really felt like that was trying to be a Superman.
The whole introduction to the movie was very much like the opening sequence for Superman.
Well, okay, so we're transitioning into talking about, because we've already talked about the first one. There's not really a lot to say other than, there's a few things that we should mention before we move on. That woman's costume with... I don't know where her nipples were supposed to be, but they had to be under her breasts. That's the only way that could explain it.
I think that they
Because there's, like, I understand
the line of the outfit was right where the nipple should be, just about. So I think that they got it right on the edge.
Because
and
I think
maybe
we saw
makeup to cover some of the aerial.
Yeah,
because
we saw some of that. And we were like, is that shadow or I don't know.
It wasn't I don't believe it was a shadow. I think that was just, you know, the aerial.
You think?
Well, yeah.
All right, so there's that.
I mean, it was the right size and shape.
Mm-hmm. And then there's
right location.
Then there's that Rainbow Bridge effect.
Yeah, and they screwed up the spectrum too.
They just walk across that bridge. How hard is it to remember Roy G. Biv, Kyle?
I don't know.
Maybe they couldn't afford to use the right spectrum. They just had the effect. I don't know.
Maybe they took some artistic license.
They used a lot of rainbows in that movie. They used that rainbow sword of flame.
It's because rainbows are epic. Rainbows make everything just more epic. I mean,
there is that.
Lord of the Rings took place on a rainbow. That would have been even more epic.
If you want to talk about epic, there was a lot of epic fog machines and a lot of neon, a lot of things lighting up. I like how the opening starts. Like most Luigi Cozy movies, he throws you for a loop right in the beginning. You expect, okay, so, you know, the god of Hercules, you know, like Zeus had, you know, his way with some earth woman. No. That's not how the story starts. It starts with the Jar of Pandora.
Exploding and creating the universe.
Mm-hmm. They did a lot of weird shots of just stuff floating in space like that.
I don't recall if that's part of Greek lore.
Like that hourglass just floating in space.
If this all does turn out to be part of Greek lore, then we're just going to show up as idiots on this thing.
Remember how the Sinbad movie started, where you're just like, is this what we're doing the first 5 minutes of this movie? Alright. Yes. So moving along now, let's discuss The Adventures of Hercules from 1985. Kyle, tell us about that story.
Well, I think that the first Hercules must have had some success, because they created a sequel, and they're like, well, we already told the story of Hercules. We have to make up some insane story. Some insanely awesome story.
Yes. Hercules goes
just
after
random
seven
awesomeness.
Thunderbolts of Zeus that were stolen
by
some renegade gods.
I'm not sure that that's any original story or not. None of it seemed familiar. I think they just wanted to throw in some awesomeness for Lou Ferrigno out there.
You know, and like the first time I saw that movie, I was thinking, this feels a lot like the second Conan, where the first one was, you know, there was an audience that liked it. And then they try to just make another one that didn't quite feel the same. Like, I don't know. You know, the second Conan movie was PG-13, was it? And the first one was R. So you get the two... Well, maybe it was even just PG. What was it?
Well, let's check.
Yes, Kyle also happens to have those. We'll be watching those later.
Yes, one of these days. First one does not say...
Well, I'm pretty sure the first one was.
Well, that's what the internet's for, kids.
Yes, but we're not going to be jumping over there because the computer's all the way over there, and that's ridiculous.
We need a desk with a laptop. It'll be
but
a
very
professional.
But they were very different movies, so...
We should make this like a news show. Like a 1970s news show.
A 70s news show?
Yes. Like, I'm picturing Mary Tyler Moore graphics going on, you know, like...
You want to be Rob Burgundy is what it is.
Yes. Let's do that.
Yeah, well, I can't... I don't have room for the green screen. I've got it, but we cast a shadow.
We don't need the green screen. We'll make a banner in the background. It's like, Luigi Cozy, LG, or LC News.
LC show.
I don't know. LC show.
Doo-doo-doo.
And yeah, some really cool, like, intro graphics. And I think we like this idea. Yeah. Next show, kids.
Yes, whenever Kyle gets back up here. Anyway,
yeah.
So back to The Adventures of Hercules.
This one was, seemed like they had, I'm not sure what the idea was behind it. They just wanted to have a sequel. Mm-hmm. So they came up with a new story, it seems.
Well, this one was very purpose-driven. It's like, okay, we have to track down each of these little things. And the thing, they brought back Minos for this one, which, you know, why not?
Minos.
Science. Yeah. Which, I tell you, that it's like, whenever they make a sequel to movies and they just know what clicked with people, they bring it back and out of nowhere in these kind of films. Like, with Minos, in the first one, he was like, oh, I'm not about the gods, I'm about science. In this one, he just said science over nothing. And like, you're like, I would defeat you with my science. And then he turns into a lightning bolt and circles the earth. And
then a dinosaur.
And then a dinosaur. And then
Hercules turns into a gorilla.
Yes.
And then they fought, and it was this like a crazy laser light show in the stars. And they were fighting, and then
that alone was worth.
Venus turned into like some sort of snake to try and strangle the gorilla Hercules. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty sweet too. And then I don't really remember what happened at the end of that fight.
I'm pretty sure
this all exploded into wholesome goodness.
Yeah, pretty sure it was like they had to find the last like the thunderbolt, and it happened to be in that one girl because her mother was Hera, the goddess, and. You know, talking about this stuff out loud, it just sounds... a lot of it is... Wow, really? Like, I'm trying to figure out... The seven thunderbolts were stolen, and the moon was coming towards the Earth. And they had to stop it. And it's like, when did this happen? Because this girl is, like, in her 20s, right? She grew up in She grew up with a hidden thunderbolt in her heart. So it's like...
Well, Hera hid the seventh thunderbolt in her heart. Spoiler alert.
Why?
And,
why did they steal the thunderbolts in the first place? Is that ever really explained?
I think it was explained at the beginning when we were eating Taco Bell, maybe. At least they tried to explain it, but we were eating Taco Bell and talking a little bit, perhaps, and not paying the utmost attention that we should have been to a Luigi Cozy film.
No, you should... I was telling you, Kyle, don't try and follow because there was a narrator... Narrating it all purposefully.
But if we're going to be putting out these reviews, we need to understand fully. This is like English class analysis here.
Kyle, I've seen this movie twice now, and I did. I tell you what, I paid more attention this time because there was less of a distraction of talking to people in the chat room. And wow. I understood less this time.
The beginning of it, we also weren't paying attention, so there's that. But the effects in this one were significantly better.
Like I said, the animation.
The hair was bigger.
Mm-hmm. Although on Ferdinand, he did look a little bit more clean shaven around the edge of the beard.
The beard was a bit cleaned up. His hair was bigger.
He was more of an afro.
His hair was bigger. The female gods weren't dressed as much as Lady Gaga in this one.
They weren't wearing.
They looked more like your standard, typical, portrayal of Greek goddesses. And there's a cat.
Pet the kitty.
That's what she said.
Oh boy, but they were dressed more like characters from a Flapper movie, like they were like 20s.
In the first one?
No, in the second one. Those like that woman with the thing in her hair that looked like a tree?
Well, but they didn't have Flapper hair though.
No.
Long,
they all had weird
80s hair.
That one woman had like the one woman that turned out to be a fake. She had like that like braided hair.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. The effects from this one were significantly better, but some like they were kind of stop and go. Like when that lightning bolt monster was flying around and attacking Hercules, he looked good. When he was lurching around, he looked like that thunderbolt thing from Scooby Doo.
There were I don't know. They definitely focused more on some of the effects than the others. Venus was often located on the top of some sort of rock in the shape of his head, I think.
Well, he was in that in the first movie, but the
and
first one...
then he showed
one...
up on it in the second one, too, with the woman with the crazy...
And you're sitting helmet. There watching it going, why? What? And that's the thing is, like, with his whole science thing, you're just sitting there going, what science turns you into a laser-shooting gorilla?
Well, that's the kind of science I like. That is the kind of science I prefer.
Science!
The female stars of this movie were not as attractive as in the previous one.
Oh, God.
They were still attractive, but they almost look like...
They looked
the
very,
one reminded
me
of Stephanie Tanner.
They look like teenage girls.
And the other reminded
the
me of...
expression on their face.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, or Tyson, or however you say her name. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, but less pretty. They kind of look like rejects from Full House and Save the Bells.
Oh, that's not... That's cool.
No, they were still attractive, but they were not as attractive as the women that they reminded me of.
Well,
the Stephanie
the
Tanner
Amazon...
Ever,
the thing is, the Amazon warriors, when they took off their masks, it was amazing that they had two different people, two different expressions. One girl was looking all pissed off, and another girl was...
I'm like, wow, that is really clashing. Like, you have two extremes of the facial.
And let us not forget the codpiece worn by the woman with the weird helmet like that.
The Chaos Lady.
Well, let's talk about Rocketeer Jedi guy.
Oh, you're talking about the Forest of Souls.
Third Lightning Bolt.
The Forest of Souls, Lost Souls, these...
Dangling souls.
And out of nowhere, he comes out wearing, like, a Rocketeer helmet, painted white, with, a trident of lightning.
Yeah,
and
like that.
And, like,
a white Jedi Knight robe-looking
yeah.
thing.
And I gotta say, it was a little anticlimactic how he offed him.
I felt like all the fight scenes were anticlimactic.
Well, they had to have seven, at least, plus...
They had just enough... to get it to be action-y, but then all of a sudden, like, one swift blow takes him out, and
some things in this movie were kind of weird, like that high priest who sacrificed women to that lightning thing.
Yeah.
He had, like, the red...
He looked like a red Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Alice Cooper wore red makeup, red hair,
and
red robe.
Red feather boas, and...
He looked like Alice Cooper. Yeah. So I think someone was just like, well, what should the fire god look like? Alice Cooper in red. Perfect.
I was like, are we at a Burning Man festival? Actually, that's another interesting point. These movies, there's not a lot of people. Like, the most, I think in the first one, there was that scene where he had to, he had to prove himself to the king to take the daughter on a journey or whatever. And that's the most people you see in this movie. There's people he's fighting. It's very sparse in both these films. A lot of walking to the one person on the other end of the set. Like when they went underwater. Oh, that was it. That was... You know, I give them...
Apparently you can just walk underwater.
I gotta say, I like that they had this nice glowing effect. You know, I think they really perfected that for this movie. But they really didn't care for a lot of the other effects. There's stuff overlaid, like that smog thing that was overlaid. That looked like a wanted-to-be lens flare, but no light.
A couple of the effects are just like four different layers composited together.
Oh, if we want
to make some sort of insanity going on.
If we're
going to
talk about
magical
effects, I think the best one would be the two lady with wings that would talk.
The little people.
Yeah, the little people who I felt like I was watching a Mothra. And I was like, why are there two of them? Why are they this weird filter? And... why do they have wings? I can just imagine.
Well, there's
this
supposed to be some sort of vision of the gods, so I think it was just supposed to be.
I can just imagine that woman sitting there filming her parts, going, "Why do I have wings on? This is. I hope nobody sees me in this."
I don't even know if they filmed their parts. It didn't seem like there was much movement. It just seemed like they had an image of them there talking.
Oh, like they like in Birdemic, where they just stuck a GIF that they had.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Well, again, like, the effects were good. Like, this is a very effects-heavy movie. Like both these movies are very... If you're epileptic, I kind of, feel sorry for you, because there's flashes and stuff just for no reason. Like, there's sword fights and you hear lasers, ping, ping, ping.
If you're epileptic, you're screwed in today's society anyway, so it doesn't matter.
But...
can't watch anything.
Yeah, but these movies are very flashy. Like, I haven't seen that many lens flares in a movie since last time I watched Star Trek.
Yeah.
So...
now you guys are getting some lens flares now, I believe. Hopefully.
Yes, because it makes
not,
it makes
hope
it artsy.
I'm gonna throw in a few right now.
I'll put in some bubble wrap too. But
like when you throw in some lens flares from my hands, and then that'll be
sweet.
Some
lightning.
Yeah. We're gonna throw in some sweet cozy effects into this.
Mm-hmm.
We should call the show the Cozy Corner. How about that? The Cozy Corner.
We're just gonna go back in time and edit that in.
That's okay. We can do that.
As long as we're talking cozy, let's squeeze in Sinbad and Sinbad and the Seven Seas.
Yeah, sure.
Let's discuss this one because
cozy Sinbad film.
If you've watched cozy movies with Lou Ferrigno,
then this is one of them.
Well, it's interesting because the first movie, we had the dialogue was dubbed obviously, but it was fairly coherent. Second one, it sounded like they changed his voice actor, and
it sounded like Adam West a lot of times.
Well, the first movie that
first movie there was one guy that sounded dead on like Adam West. I don't know what happened to that guy. He was kind of
he was
in one or two scenes.
He was the first guy. I think he was Minos in disguise.
So he was just disguising his voice, perhaps.
I don't know. That's the thing about these movies. If you think about the writing in a cozy movie too much, you're gonna hurt yourself. Just accept it and watch it. I mean, that's the thing I love about cozy movies is they're like a 10-year-old got a movie set and let things go, and there's stuff that you're like, is this, like, it's like reading Axe Cop or something, where you're like, this is awesome, I know this makes no sense, but I like it anyway. And Sinbad is like we said, the third one, where the voices are very obviously dubbed in that one. I mean, wow. they're all done by like three people, I think.
Probably.
And I recognize them because they were all like voice actors in an old dubbed anime show I used to watch as a child. And it's like, I recognize that guy. The guy with the beard, he was in a lot of cartoons. And Poochie the Dwarf.
Ah, yes. Poochie the Dwarf.
Which, that movie really brought back a lot of memories of Aladdin. Because there was Prince Ali, was it? And the bad guy was Jafar.
I don't know if he was named Jafar. Was he named Jafar?
Yeah, I think he was. So,
he sure looked like Jafar.
Mm-hmm. That guy's expression with the, what was it, with the eyes?
I was just like, that's the whole movie.
And the fingernail.
The fingernail.
Which, now, if you wanted...
And a lens flare.
Now, the thing is, both these movies and Sinbad, they had, you know, they had that chaos lady in the first two. As, you know, she would provide him with chaos and things to battle with. But in Sinbad, he had this big, muscly woman.
Yeah.
For comic relief?
It was like a really ugly China.
Ah, boy.
And we don't know why she was even there.
I don't know. She just came in. She didn't help him take over.
She was like
anything.
A sidekick for the bad guy, Jafar, right?
Yeah. And she was there to joke about stuff.
Well, she was serious at the beginning, and then she like taunted him at the end.
She's like, you know, he's like, which side are you on? And she's like, the winning side. If you lose, screw you, man. I'm like, then why are you here?
Hey, I don't know that.
But that Sinbad movie started very interestingly. Not how you would expect a Sinbad movie to start, and it actually had several beginnings, because the story itself is being read to a little girl by her mother. But before that...
Much like The Princess Bride.
Before that, you get introduced to Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote a Sinbad story, which this one is obviously based on, and Cozy wants you to know that, hey, you know, Edgar Allan Poe wrote a Sinbad story. Bet you
didn't
know that.
Did he create Sinbad? Is that what it was saying?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just saying he wrote one.
See, this is why we need to fact check before our film.
This is the internet. Who cares?
Yeah, go ahead and check there. This will give you something to comment on and be like, oh, you guys are such idiots. Ugh.
Dude.
We're going to talk to hot chicks now.
It turns out to be some dude.
Yeah, that's Ben.
You found out my secret, Kyle. But anyway, so Sinbad, he plays, Lou Ferrigno obviously plays Sinbad. And he's got his Poochie the Dwarf, the Bald Cook, Prince Ali. That, you know, I don't understand that how, another thing about how science in these films doesn't work, that the princess was having her brainwashed by these pipes that carried green and red liquid around her body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That was weird.
Yeah.
It was mostly a dude fest in Sinbad as well.
Yeah, a lot of dudes.
So if you're looking for... Cozy seemed to pick a lot of attractive women for
now,
his
there
films.
Now, there was, like in most Cozy movies, Amazons.
Yeah. They weren't as attractive in this one as in other ones.
And Sinbad, actually...
Particularly
I'll
in
say,
Star Crash.
I'll but. Say in Sinbad, the Amazons were alright, especially...
Yeah,
the
they were alright. They were better than... They're better than in The Adventures of Hercules, Amazons, I would say.
Yeah.
Those were much more...
Well, we saw more of the Sinbad Amazons than we saw in Star Crash.
We did.
Although they had a planet of Amazons in that.
And they were all really hot in that, if I recall. Could have just been my...
It could just be your amazement.
My mind
this
being
movie
blown
is...
by the amazement of the movie,
yes,
but
yes.
That movie was just, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is truly the testament to these films.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it will stand alone in the test of time. Yeah. Although there was a movie that's called Star Crash 2, Escape from Galaxy 3, which...
Did you just say Escape? Huh? Or Escape?
Escape.
Okay. I thought I heard you say Escape, and I was like, come on, Ben. You can't mispronounce words.
It's my show, I'll say what I want.
Whatever.
But yeah... Escape from Galaxy 3, which it's not related to Cozy, but the villain is a black guy dressed in rainbow robes, and he's got a golden beard. So
that sounds cool.
There's sirens outside my house.
I don't think that they care.
Well, I care.
They can't hear.
I'm professional. So.
They can't hear. If they can, then whatever. This chunk will probably be edited out with a picture of
it's the people,
Lou
but it's
Ferrigno,
the man
Barbie doll Ken guy.
Barbie doll Ken guy.
Yeah.
Well, he did have some he had knockers. Let's just be honest. Like that, I'll call them pecs. Like that's the thing. When you get neck muscles, those aren't pecs anymore. Those are breasts. Like
those are more of his like a trapezius or whatever back here that they're just built up so high. It's not even really his neck. It's more his shoulders right there.
I don't know, man. He
just built up from,
he flexed his chest.
He must be like 1,000
like,
shrugs or something
yeah,
like that.
That was... Yeah. But back to Sinbad. Which...
Back to Sinbad. He had... If you're looking for Lou Ferrigno with an afro, this is your movie.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'll give him this. They didn't... As opposed to the Hercules movies, they didn't over-oil him up. Because the Hercules movies, you look at him and it's like... Why is he covered in oil? Because you could say it's sweat, but every time they cut back, he's dry and then he's oily. You know.
Well,
in the other
second Hercules movie, they just oiled everybody up in that one.
Mm-hmm.
So
everybody was shiny.
If you want some oily movie time?
Yeah, the two women leads in that movie were very oily.
Yeah, they seemed to oil them up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They had some glistening legs and whatnot.
Yes, but they didn't. Expose much like they were. I mean, well, they had legs, but like the one woman had like her top went up to like her neck.
Comparatively, there was not much.
As opposed to the first villainess in the first movie, she comes out and like she's got this like
she almost got her nipples hanging out. Like
well,
I said,
she's got like this triangle thing, and then it's pointing to like her boobs or down. Yeah. Like you're like, where does her dress?
And later,
end?
She changed. Didn't have the triangle. It was similar. It was like TLC's outfits, you know, similar but different.
Mm-hmm.
And, similar. It was different. Like the same, but you know, same cut.
But yeah.
I'm gonna wear one next show, by the way.
Ah.
Well, probably not, but.
No, you should wear one of the Lady Gaga outfits.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll just have a fashion show.
Yeah,
I'll have some sort of catwalk feature.
Dress like the people in the movie Sinbad, which I don't know. I get that they were trying to go for an Arabian flair. Like that Chinese guy who had the thing of knives all along. I mean, he used them once. Which I guess is better than I.
Yeah.
Most movies where they put a lot of that in it, and you're like, you never see him draw some knife. But this one,
this is better than
he was wearing like a rainbow outfit, wasn't he?
I don't even remember.
All I remember from that movie is when he befriended the snakes. And he was talking to them, he's like, don't worry, I won't hurt you. I'll just tie you together head to tail and make a rope out of you and climb up your body. What?
I wasn't paying attention.
That's alright. Neither were we when we were watching it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was overjoyed when I saw it because they screened it on the 1-year anniversary of Bad Movies About Raptors, but I missed it because I was out of the country for my brother's wedding, and then I found it in a store. I found it, and I was like, $3. I am getting Sinbad with Lou Ferrigno.
Well worth it.
Mm. Yes.
We need to start building our cozy collection.
Mm-hmm.
If you create and distribute DVDs, we want like a limited edition collector's edition of Star Crash with bonus features.
Star Crash is
make
now
that.
On,
we'll buy. You'll sell at least two copies.
Star Crash is now on DVD and Blu-ray by the Roger Corman Presents series. But I've heard people complain that, well, you know, it's nice and clean up and everything, but it's an edited cut. Like it's not.
We
as
don't
long.
Like edits.
Yeah, just
this is America.
Yeah,
give us our footage. We want our Italian footage.
Yes.
Dang it.
Well, if you want our Italian footage, I want to see that Godzilla episode that Cozy reduced. Yeah, I don't know.
There just needs to be a box set.
I told you, I would buy his filmography. I would even buy Nosferatu in Venice, where he was like the fourth director on that movie. Like, people would walk out and he would, you know, he came in and did his thing and then I think he left.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
then they've got Ed Wood box sets. This is almost up there.
Yes.
So, make it, people. Mm-hmm. We demand it.
Hello, Kitty.
The public speaks.
The public speaks.
I don't even know what that means, but...
Well, we don't understand what any of this means, Kyle, but I'm sure...
That's what happens when you record yourself talking about movies at 2 in the morning.
It's not 2 in the morning, is it?
It's about there, if not there yet. It's 2:18, I believe.
Mm. So,
for what, you folks out there in TV land.
Well, I'm sure I'll edit this out. I'll edit this whole thing out and just have me talking.
Let's have a picture of Cozy.
That's all you need, really.
Every show, you need to do your own drawing of Cozy.
Actually, there's
you need to start a Cozy webcomic.
Actually, there's
Adventures
a sequel,
with Cozy.
A sequel to Star Crash in book format called Curved Space.
We should do a dramatic reading of it.
Well,
I think this is sound effects and everything.
I might.
We can do different voices.
I mean, I'm going to be doing the Crafting Minds podcast, making it more dramatic. So
I'm thinking a dramatic reading of
Curse
Star Crash sequel, Curse Space.
Yeah. Which the nice thing about Curse Space, it has forewords by both Luigi Cozy and Caroline Monroe. Which, you know, she's like, I don't, you know, I'm surprised a lot of people really like this movie, and I'm not really anything like my character. So,
but she is incredibly hot.
Well. Yeah, there is that. And
there's that.
Cozy's the forward. You recognize two things real quickly. One, that English is not his first language. And two, that he is a fairly elderly man. Because, you know, when he wrote Star Crash, he was already in his 30s, I believe. And he goes into the story about how when he got hired for it, they said, okay, this movie, Star Wars, it's blowing up. We want to do a movie like that. It's like, I can do that. And it hadn't been released in Europe yet. And he was thinking, well, how am I going to find this out? And then apparently, he was telling about how there's a book that has the script for the first Star Wars movie that came out, but it also hadn't come out in Europe yet, but only one copy was out, and he managed to have it. So,
there you go.
And he read it, and he appreciated it, but he didn't want to copy it, because... He thought,
well, that's bad. Obviously.
That's what happened. It
and
was...
Then the wonder of Star Crash would not have come to us.
Yes, it was... You know, he started talking about a friend of his who wrote a book in the 40s, and I'm sitting there reading this going, okay, you lost me. This is a paragraph into your foreword, and I have no idea what he is saying. It's like someone ran this through Babelfish.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I'm thinking we're definitely going to have podcasts for perhaps each movie in the Cozy series.
Yes, we'll see what
repertoire.
Well, a reason I wanted to start this kind of program is because the Cinema Snob does a show called Bruno Mattei Show, where they all gather around in nice suits, which, you know, this is as nice as we get on this set.
Yeah, well, no. We could dress in suits or...
Well, I'd like...
Some sort of nerdy flowered shirt.
Well, I didn't want to tell you to bring a suit home for Christmas. Yeah, I just would have felt like, oh, I'm the dick for doing that, you know?
Yeah, well, so, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, plus
they record, we gotta go in with our own style.
Plus,
you know,
they record in a bar, and it's like, this...
We're gonna have our own feel. We can't just be...
I'm not even sure this camera's picking up good quality sound. I might have to overdub everything, and it'll look just like, you know, a Cozy movie. I'll have...
If we have to overdub it, that would be sweet.
Yeah, I'll overdub all the
voices. Then we can just reuse this
myself.
Footage every time and just dub in new stuff for each... Same footage every time, different audio.
Yes.
Different lens flares.
And then I'll have a different accent every episode.
Lens flare.
Meetings, today we are talking about...
No. Perhaps there should be a lens flare, like, as I sip my drink. That might look a little too erotic for some people, perhaps, though. I don't even know.
Oh boy, that's... Well, anyway, if you like Cozy movies, you're gonna like the lens flare, or you're gonna have to deal with it.
You're gonna like laser light effects.
Yeah, there's a lot of... What trademarks are there in a Cozy movie? like in the good ones. I mean, I'm sure there's movies where they tone down his
style. They all seem to have the laser light effect kind of deal. They all naturally will have the stop motion, crude stop motion animation effects.
And composite shots.
Composite shots for sure. But, you know, every movie around that time probably had similar kind of deals, but there's a certain style to his that definitely stands out and makes it that much better.
I think there's a very childlike, you know, wonderment to the whole thing. Like, this is going to be a great epic adventure.
Mm-hmm. It's like he has these amazing ideas and just enough budget to get just enough done on it for it to look cool. But at the time, it might have looked pretty good, but not top-notch for the time either.
I think at the time, people, like, if you went to the theater and you saw the Hercules movies there, I mean, those were released like the Sinbad movie. They were released in the States. So people actually saw those. I don't know if they saw them in theaters when they came out.
That's probably why they're much easier to find on DVD.
Yeah, those aren't like his other movies that are like, well, you get an import of it and this or that. But yeah. Those are more mainstream. I'm sure if somebody went there and saw the gorilla and T-Rex battle from The Adventures of Hercules,
yeah, that'll get you.
It was very... It came out of nowhere, and that's something that you talk about. You're like, man, I don't know.
That'll leave a mark on you the rest of your life.
Yes, 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 yes. It was a very Tron-like experience, too. That's the thing about Minos. Yeah. He had that circle on his chest, and then when they turned into laser things, and they were all kind of, like, rotoscoped.
Yeah. They did try and throw in some sort of Medusa-type character in the second Hercules.
Yeah.
This is kind of random.
She turned into a Medusa.
They looked at her totally looked at her. She, like, turned into Medusa.
She had, like, a melty face.
I'm not really sure.
Then
she was, like, a scorpion Medusa.
Yeah, she looked like that thing from that Dragon Quest game. But the second one had a thing for melty faces. Like, there were the melted people, or the slime people, or whatever. And then that first sacrifice to that fire god was, like, melted with burnt eyes. Yeah. Which, that wasn't quite what happens when you get electrocuted or anything. It's just, like, you don't get white eyes and charred.
It just looked cool. It was a cool effect that they wanted, and got the job done.
That movie had a lot of effects just plastered on top of things.
Yeah.
Plastered, plastered, plastered.
Like, they're like, we have a little... Well, I couldn't tell if they had more of a budget this time, or if they just had a bunch of extra money because the first 10 minutes of the film...
Well, the first 10 minutes of the movie were reused
shots
from
the first film.
And it's like, basically, it's like, here's Lou Ferrigno, and anytime anybody else comes in, we'll blur stuff out or fade out before you can see them. And I noticed the credits were, like, everything was glowing in this movie. It's like, we learned how to make stuff glow, we can afford to do it everywhere, all the gods will glow, when you go underwater, you'll be kind of transparent and glow, and it's basically, you're walking through the blue screen, and then there's an ocean behind them, and it just... the thing is that they threw so many effects at you. A few of them are going to be awesome, but I think it was just a lot of layered effects. I think it was like when a kid first
just
downloads.
Just when every shot had a second layer on it.
It's like when a kid first downloads.
There's
After
that weird
effects
foggy
or Photoshop,
layer that one time.
You know,
was that with the Rocketeer Jedi guy?
No, the first one.
The first film?
No, it wasn't the first film. It was one of the first battles. It was the slime people, I think.
Oh, yes.
They were jumping.
Like
they looked
putty
like
monsters.
It wasn't even slime people. It was one that looked like Wookiees.
Ones.
Yeah.
The Wookiee guy was the first one, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought about when he first discovered, I've got to kill them to... Like, that was another thing. When he had to kill the one woman to get the Thunderbolt, and it was like, he's sitting there strangling her for, like, the whole time that she, you know, till she dies. And I'm like, you know, if you kill him in battle and just, like, flop him over, that we can accept... This is kind of... I don't know how I should feel about him sitting here strangling a woman. That's... I don't know. But then again... remember in the first movie... As long as we forgot... We were talking about costumes. We forgot to mention in the first movie that when they dressed the girl up with the clamshells and the torn dress...
Oh, yeah. That was a good outfit.
I don't know if I would call it an outfit so much as...
Thong and some seashells and a little bit of a long, fringy...
Fringe, yeah, because you know how, like, a jacket will have
dress through a shredder.
Yeah.
And stopped it right at the neckline, so she'd wear it around the neck, and then it went all the way down. But she had like a white thong under it and some shells.
Well, you never saw anything too. Nice. Everything was always passing by her.
The woman had a lovely physique.
Yeah,
I was a fan.
That's the thing. If you're gonna dress a character in a costume like that, let them. You know, I mean, it's okay to have to show some skin. I don't know if it's like Luigi Cozy, like. What are his movies mostly rated? I'd say, like, PG, G.
Well, at the time, probably by the second Hercules. When did he see?
83 and 85.
PG-13 didn't come around until, like, what?
Temple of Doom.
Yeah, so what year was that? 81? Or was that 80?
I don't know, but I'd really say that, like, he doesn't... He has very physiqued characters, but... You know, he doesn't really show, as opposed to the movie that's known as Star Crash 2, which I heard that one has hippie sex all over.
So it's like Barbarella.
Maybe.
Barbarella wannabe. That's I can get down with that. Sounds good to me.
Get down, not.
Yep. But yeah, it was all rather tastefully done. I don't think that, you know, it's kind of revealing flesh that would be like cover your child's eyes during the scene. It's just like that's how they're dressed.
You didn't see stuff. You maybe at most saw. I think you were excited
you
about
saw
this,
an excess side. There was a little bit of side boob here and there. Yeah, like, a little bit of butt with the little thong out.
A little bit of butt,
but it was still covered up by the little fringy layers.
Well, I like when they went underwater and talked to those three women that just had me like laying there, and you were like, "Are they supposed to be mermaids? No, they have legs.
One of them had a tail."
No, I think they...
The one on the right had a tail.
The one on the right had a leg.
Tail, yeah. The one in the middle had legs.
No, the one on the right had a leg. She had a leg.
Well, it was green all the way down.
I think it was a dress, I guess.
Because I didn't see any feet.
But it was weird because she had, like the other girl, she had a clamshell on her boob.
Yeah. The clamshell on her boob.
And it was just like...
I think that one
out of nowhere.
Had the mermaid tail, though.
Which was weird that they had,
well, you couldn't see the bottom of it.
Which is weird. It's like, I'm not talking, but I'm projecting my mind onto you. It's like... Why?
Yeah. So they just zoomed in on her, and she was looking at you like...
She's looking at you, and you get the circles.
Now we need some effects.
Spinning.
Where it's like, woo, woo,
that's
woo,
the thing. People, I don't know if the
we need to do that as well. We need to have
if you want to do
show,
the effects for
we just
show.
Stand there looking like this, and then like, woo, 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 have some effects, and then we'll talk over it.
Yes.
Have a voiceover.
That's the thing. I don't know if any of the people that were doing these effects, if they really knew how they were supposed to respond when they just look at the camera and like, there's flashing lights out of their eyes.
Yeah, I don't know that she knew necessarily what her character was saying at that point. She was just kind of staring blankly. No expression change. So, if she knew what was supposed to be said, then she might have been like...
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm. Making something.
Oh, yeah. Well...
Instead of just like...
expressions. Well, one of my favorites is that scene where Lou Ferrigno just throws a bunch of people off of him, but instead of doing the arms out... He You're does like, the... What does he
Wah!
Do? He does, he up he like, does go into the superhero pose.
That's pretty awesome.
I know.
That should be an animated GIF right there.
That's the thing, is like, I ironically and unironically love Luigi Cozy movies, because it's like, they're, you know, they're fun. They're what movie making... Like, if you love the Adam West Batman kind of stuff, mm-hmm. you'll love a Luigi Cozy movie. Although... I don't know how, you know, a lot... Like, I'm sure that's, like, his style that he got to. I'm sure there's a lot of movies, if we go back in his filmography...
Which we will.
I'm sure a lot of them will be, you know, tied back where you'll just see the one lens flare, and you're just like...
That's when he discovered the magic of lens flares.
Like, they're trying... Like, he was trying to bring this out, and they just wouldn't let him, you know?
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll be... Exploring the man, the myth, the legend of Luigi Cozy.
Louis Coates, also.
Yes.
Fun fact, in Sinbad, the little girl that's being read the story to, her last name is Cozy. So she might be...
Related. Child of his.
Or grandchild.
Grandchild.
Which, considering
sister, who knows what kind of family dynamic he had. We'll find out as much as we can.
We'll find out.
We'll even interview him.
Yes, Luigi... I don't know. I don't think he's as mystical a figure as like Pierre Kirby, who kind of came and went and disappeared into the ether. But
more like a magical character.
Mythical. Magical.
He's magical. He walks on rainbows.
No, that's Lou Ferrigno.
Yes, but it was all under Cozy's whatever.
You know, that's another Cozy style thing is when he's filming an action scene, he'll cut to the other characters just looking. Like, whenever Hercules was fighting, they would cut to his dad, or the, you know, Zeus, or they would cut to the woman that he was with at the time. And you're just like, why did you spice this in here?
So they're listening, obviously.
Yes, yes.
It's important.
The more you know.
Yep.
But anyway, I believe that finishes up the filming of the raw footage. We'll edit this later.
Into awesomeness with lots of lens flares. Good night.
Visit NoteRightsProductions.com. Don't forget to follow Ben on Twitter at twitter.com/noterights.